Hey, it's Matt Bove from It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. This NFL offseason, we can fit 25 hours in a day, and that's because of podcasts that make you more productive. When you're folding laundry, paying bills, making omelets, or any other task that you've got to get done, listen while you work. Do your chores and be entertained all at the same time. It's all about the bills, the news, insight, analysis, and of course, some jokes too, on demand, so it fits into your busy schedule. Follow the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
All right, Matt. So I'll tell you, and I'll start this time and tell you the big thing I took away from Sean McDermott. This is more of a big picture thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wasn't anything specific he said and led me to, ooh, this or that. The tone of him though, was a lot about the change in leadership and the changing culture of a new team. We've talked a lot here about this is kind of being the next iteration of the Bills, right? Like they have this new roster, they're turning over, but you think about it. They've lost now. This year alone, Mitch Morse, Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, who was a captain, Micah Hyde, who it looks like he's not going to be back, Jordan Poyer, Saran Neal even. I mean, these are guys who've been big parts and cornerstones, but also big leaders. And he even said Josh Allen, that's a big focus of his game that he's worked on, is being, you know, a leader, a certain leader, better leader, whatever, however you want to phrase it. Not that he wasn't a bad leader in any respect, but even Josh taking on more of that leadership role. But I just found it really interesting that Sean McDermott really talked a lot about that piece and how much that's transitioning. And what's interesting, too, on top of that is, who do we hear from after Josh Allen? One other guy, Terrell Bernard, a third-year middle linebacker.
Did you remember my question? I tried to get Sean to take the bait. He didn't. It was not like a try-and-catch-him question, but no. I asked him if there were any specific players that he thought were ready to take on kind of like that added leadership role. You know, just for what they mean off the field, because Terrell Bernard was the layup. He said, I don't want to say one guy because then I'm going to forget somebody else.
I do.
And then that way I heard, and I very much understand that. I'm not trying to paint him in a corner, but I can tell you who these leaders are just from being around the team and from watching them play football. And a lot of people listening can probably as well. Terrell Bernard is one of them. And Taron Johnson is one of them. Those are two guys who I think are going to have far bigger roles. Obviously, on the field, they've always been very important, or at least for the last year, they were very important. But like, those are guys who are now building block pieces for the Buffalo Bills. Even though, like, if you're listening and you're like, well, what about Matt Milano? I can tell you what, Matt Milano is an incredible football player, just like a very chill, nice dude who I don't think is going to be Mr. Rah-Rah getting anybody's face. Terrell Bernard is just built a little bit differently. So, like,
and
those are guys.
I don't, not that you're saying you have to, I know that. But not all captains have to get in someone's face. But I agree with you about Matt Milano. He's not the kind of guy that's going to command the room like that. He's just going to go out there and ball. And that's just great.
Exactly.
Right? And that's what he wants to
exactly.
do. Whereas you have other guys who are a little bit more vocal. And it doesn't have to always be. Like I said, you could have leadership takes all forms. We know that. You could be a guy that gets in someone's face and, you know, to hold them and tell them. And, you know, I don't know. Would Chris Drury qualify? I don't even know if he was like that necessarily, but you know, these guys are so well respected.
Yeah.
But then you could also be a guy that's just, hey man, he goes about his business every day. He's a good captain. He's a good leader. He talks with me off to the side, a Lorenzo Alexander type, right?
Yeah.
Someone like that you could have. Deion Dawkins could fit into a leadership role, especially some of the things he said this offseason and, you know, getting him, you know, viral and some of the things he said about the Jets.
Yeah.
I'll give you another one. I think Rasul Douglas could be a leader of this team now that he's been here for half a season and an offseason.
Yeah, for sure. I think that that's a really good call. The one that I'm interested in, I feel like it's easy to find them on defense. It's a little bit trickier on offense. Mm-hmm. After Josh and after Deion, then I start to go, like Dawson, I think is a good example, but I think Dawson's a little bit more like Matt Milano than he is like some of the other guys where it's like he'll try and lead by his example. He'll, you know, perform on the field when he needs to, but I don't necessarily know, you know, what his leadership style is like. And this is not meant to be like a knock on any of these guys or, you know, really kind of shining them up. I just, it's harder to find those guys on offense than it is on defense. Cause there's, I think, a lot more options on the defensive side of the ball.
The guy on offense I'd look at and wonder about is Connor McGovern. Now that he slides over to center and, like, you know, he's been in this league, he's played different positions. You know, and he's a guy that's got to make calls now. And you know, we'll see where that goes. But that was, to me, the big thing from Sean was how he really talked about that. And it wasn't just with the players, by the way. It's the coaches. Yeah. He has new coaches. He's got coaches in different roles, leading the coaches. You see that piece coming together. So this is kind of that feeling out session. He also said that they have yet to determine who's going to call plays on the defensive side. I think we both agree it's going to be Bobby Babich, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of I feel like that too.
I think it's going to be Bobby Babich for sure.
Yeah, I kind of feel like him playing this out is, you know, to make sure that Bobby's ready and up to speed and knows everything that's going on. And he's doing this as a way of kind of like easing him into it a little bit.
No doubt. Anything else from Sean McDermott that he talked about, whether it's the Stephon Diggs, you know, piece and losing him or.
No, nothing Sean said today was, it wasn't bad or anything. It was just, I thought the really like newsworthy things were certainly from Josh and then obviously from Brandon. You know, we talked to Brandon for a long time and I thought there were some things that Brandon said that were super interesting today, but you know, he's not going to show his hand when talking about specifically draft stuff. All the other stuff I thought was very interesting, but I thought walking out of that press room today, I thought the Josh Allen stuff was the most notable.
All right. So what do you think about Josh? Go right ahead on that.
I think, and this is just my read on it, maybe my body language expertise is just off. I just thought he was very calm and in control. And it just felt like he just kind of kept taking the high road, which is what we'd expect with Josh Allen. He's always that way. But it just felt like a little bit of a different vibe than what we've seen at times in the past. Now, I will say this. This is a very important caveat. It's April. They're not getting ready for a game. They're not coming off of a game. He was playing golf last week. He's probably playing golf next week. Things are probably really good right now for Josh Allen. So sure, he was probably in a better mood than he normally is and, you know, more comfortable giving us more of his time and maybe peeling back the curtain a little bit more. But I thought there were some things that he said today that were really, really interesting about kind of how he views himself as a leader and where this team can go as they kind of begin this next phase.
The Stephon Diggs stuff. He was asked, of course, about Stephon. Said that he texted. That was one of the things that was debated a lot on social media today. The fact that Josh said he texted Stephon. I mean, you might have gotten it too. I got a bunch of people telling me, oh, send him a text, not a phone call. I don't know what to tell you. That's how people communicate these days, especially 20-something year olds, right? I mean, I text my wife all the time, 100 times a day, right? We text back and forth. I do call some people once in a while, and I believe in calling people, but generally texting, yes, you text people. That's what you do sometimes, and it's just the easiest form and easiest way. I didn't think anything of it. Maybe you feel differently. I didn't think he had to say like, oh, I didn't think it was any indictment whatsoever. They didn't actually talk on the phone.
Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, I didn't get it as like an indictment or anything. It was in the back of my mind of like, well, he always talks about how he'll like FaceTime Brian Daboll or how he'll like get on the phone and talk to Brandon Bean. But this was only I don't think there's anything. I don't want to like manufacture a story or something here. I thought about it. I don't think it's a big deal, but I thought about it. When he said he texted him, I was like, oh, well, I would have thought that maybe like you went to dinner. I don't know where you guys are in the world, but like maybe go to dinner and like. Or get a phone. I don't know. I just, whatever. I don't think it's a big deal. I talk to people on the phone a lot. So I'm the opposite. Like I would much rather talk to somebody on the phone than text them.
I'm like you in a lot of ways. And you and I talk on the phone once in a while. Like, well, instead of just texting, we'll call each other to kind of talk about the show or whatever. And that's fine. I'm also still a people person like that. My point is, though, that's just the way most of the world communicates, especially younger people these days, that they text. Because I think what you'd like to know is, okay, and I don't know this, when they normally communicated, was it through text or was it FaceTime? He might say he FaceTimes Brandon Beam because they have fun like that, but I'd be willing to bet, and I don't know this, 99% of the way that Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs communicated for the last 4 years was through text when they were together.
Yeah, you're probably right. They also live much different lives than we live, where they're on the go and like they're probably on private jets, and it's just a lot easier to text each other than it is for me when I'm sitting on my couch or walking my dog in the neighborhood. Like, I'm available to talk on the phone. They've probably got other things going on. I don't think it's a huge deal. I think the fact that they reached out to each other and, you know, like I said, Josh took the high road, that is exactly what I would expect. And honestly, that's exactly what I would expect from Stephon Diggs too. Even though he's been poking fun on social media and there's been the continuous cryptic things, I certainly do not think Diggs would have been, you know, snarky in a response or, you know, not genuine. Like, I do think there really was a special bond there for a long time. And whatever happened to it, or if anything even did happen to it, that doesn't take away, you know, what they were able to accomplish together.
And by the way, Josh did say that Stephon did text him back, so that everybody you know, knows that. He said that Stephon did text him back. The other thing, I was trying to think, there was something else maybe about Josh. You know, I mean, I know that this is the kind of the nerdy football stuff that I like, right?
You loved the snap question, didn't you? Well, it was your question.
I loved
the response.
I think it's amazing.
It's great. It was so interesting. It was so much more interesting than I thought it would have been.
Thank you. I appreciate that, because I think those are the things that, like, we never really, and I think about this stuff as a coach, right? I coached high school football, and these are little things that I think about, which is, okay, you got a new center. It's not as easy as just putting your hands on his butt and saying, snap me the ball. Like, there's a way you have to do it. And especially because you have a different size guy. And not only is he maybe, like, his butt's a different size, right? I mean, like, it's just, there's different ways of going about this. So I asked Josh Allen specifically, what's it like to work with a new center physically? And he said, I thought it was interesting. He said, you know, a lot of guys just like it right in the middle. He said Mitch Morse was more of a left side guy, meaning when he snaps it up, it's more to the left side of his body, his groin. And Josh was used to that. So whenever another center came in, he would say, you know, can you do that? Because that's what he's used to doing. And he said sometimes that's also just because of where he wants his hands when the snap comes and how he wants to drop back and the placement of the ball. So working with Connor McGovern, that's something they're going to have to work through as well. It was super interesting. I think it was just a little insight into how much these guys really pay so much detail to their craft. And I even compared it to, is it like working with a new wide receiver when you do option routes, and where are you going to be at this specific time? He said that's actually a really good comparison, because there are all these nuances you don't normally think about that you have to take care of.
Well, he even talked about in the gun, taking snaps out of the gun and knowing where their misses are. And he's like, well, if a guy's miss is to this side, or if they're about to snap and I know they're pulling to the right, I'm going to make sure my hands are to the left, because that's where the more likely miss is going to be, just in case it catches me off guard. So I have that split extra second to kind of, like, you know, get the ball back into position and then go from there. And I'm like, wow, that is just such an interesting, you know, you did that video years ago with Reed Ferguson about like the intricacies of long snapping. And to me, that's mind-boggling how many things go into something that is so overlooked in the game as far as long snapping is concerned. And that's why, you know, we're in this draft process and we talk about route running and we talk about all these intangibles. Like, all of this stuff matters, and all of this stuff is something that can take you from just another guy to a guy that has a lot of success in the league. So I really do like all of these little intricacies. And I thought the snap thing was a really good example of that. My big takeaway from Josh today was actually the question from Matt Perino, so the other Matt in the room today, about navigating all of the noise and what Josh learned about himself as a leader through the process. And I thought it was very interesting that he said, you know, for so much of my time here, I've always kind of viewed myself as one of the guys, right? Like, I very much feel like I am, but I also need to know that people look to me and expect me to be a little bit different, and that I need to lead them the way they need to be led. And I just think that that's interesting, especially especially as we begin this kind of next chapter for the Bills. When you walk in the door, if you've never played for the Bills before for this week of voluntary workouts, the first person you're going to look for when you walk onto the field is Josh Allen. And you're going to see, what's he doing? How's he interacting with people? And from all of the times that we've watched Josh, he's one of the guys. He's having fun. He's screwing around. But he also needs to know when to turn it on and when to get serious. And I think that he realizes that now. He was like, listen, the minute you become a franchise quarterback, the minute you get your second contract, people start expecting more from you. And I need to know that that's my role. Now, he is a pretty humble dude. So he's not going to like put himself in the absolute upper echelon. He put himself in the tier of other quarterbacks on their second contracts. He is so much more than that. He is the most important person in that organization by leaps and bounds, and is on the trajectory to be maybe the most important athlete in the history of Buffalo professional sports. So what he does makes an impact, even if he doesn't think it does. And I think now he's starting to realize that more and will become a better leader because of it.
It's a great point. I love it. I love the question, the answer, how Josh handled it. We'll see. I mean, look, there's a video of at the Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes getting after some, who was it on the sidelines? I can't remember. Was it Sky Moore maybe?
Yeah, it might've been.
He was getting after somebody on the sidelines, mm-hmm. the Super Bowl. And, you know, it was kind of like, he wasn't being a jerk. I mean, you guys could look at it that way. He was being a quarterback and telling him like, hey, you know, this is what I'm looking at. And you need to understand that. And this is not a criticism, but it is a wondering. Like, I've never seen Josh do that. And I'm not telling mm-hmm. you he has to do that, but I do think he has to be willing to do that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we've ever seen that from him or if his willingness even to do it.
Yeah, well, that's part of when you're one of the guys. When you're one of the guys, you don't necessarily do that, but you got to find the balance
yep.
of being somebody who teammates can have a good time with and laugh with and who can play cards with and go to the golf simulator with, but also the most important person on the field. So it's a really interesting thing that he needs to, it's another layer to all of this, because I know that sometimes this stuff gets overblown. Oh, who cares? Who's a captain? Like, it really doesn't matter. And I get that. Like, a lot of times it does get overblown, but the importance of Josh Allen cannot be overstated to the organization. And I think what he does and his actions, not even necessarily just on the field in a game, mean a lot.
Well, one other guy spoke and he said something that kind of it went a little bit viral when I tweeted it out today. So let's get to that too.